Hello, this is John Ivy from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Boys Life magazine. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. We're going to begin today talking about soccer. Our first article is entitled Secrets of the Soccer Stars. It has a picture on page 16 of a cartoon character. Looks like he's running after a soccer ball. Ever since he was three, Jeff Cunningham knew exactly what he wanted to do with his life. It was simple, really. I was hoping, Cunningham says, to be the next Pelé. See? Simple. Oh, did we mention that Pelé was the best soccer player of his generation? Maybe even the greatest soccer player the world has ever known? Well, 30 years later, Cunningham might not be known as the next Pelé, but he is one terrific soccer player and a forward for the FC Dallas of Major League Soccer. Last year, Cunningham earned the Golden Boot Award, which goes to Major League Soccer's top goal scorer. He was also a finalist for the league's Most Valuable Player Award and was named to the MLS Best 11, the top 11 players in the league. Getting there, it turns out, was not so simple. Growing up in Jamaica, a small island country between Florida and South America, most kids played soccer. Competition was always fierce. To become a good player, Cunningham had to work hard. I was not always the best player, but I knew I had special qualities, Cunningham says. I played different positions growing up, so I had different perspectives on the game. However, I developed the knack for scoring goals. In parenthesis, that's what's known as an understatement. Cunningham's knack has led him to become Major League Soccer's second leading scorer of all time, with 121 goals entering this season. Close parenthesis. In schoolwork, getting 9 out of 10 will get you an A. In soccer, even the best professional players might miss 3 of every 4 shots they take, which means this. You can't let missed shots get you down. The only shot that counts is the next one you take. And that, Cunningham says, is the secret to his success. Goal scorers tend to be forgetful, yet confident, he says. It is important to forget missed opportunities, yet still be confident of scoring the next chance. See? Simple. Jeff Cunningham is not the only Major League Soccer star willing to tell the secret of his success. We caught up with a few others. Follow these tips and soccer just might become, well, simple. Boys Life Insider Tip on Soccer. If you can learn to shoot with both feet, you'll score more goals. And here on page 17, it has a picture of Jeff. Looks like he's just about to score a goal. Head it like McBride. This is Brian McBride, a forward for the Chicago Fire. Brian McBride is one of Major League Soccer's all-time leaders in shots taken. Many of those shots have come not from McBride's foot, but from his head. He has nearly perfected the art of heading the ball. His secret? Play around. A lot has to do with playing other sports. It's important to get different timing aspects. I love playing volleyball. I played a lot of tennis, played basketball nonstop in front of the house with my brother and friends. I'm sure my success has a lot to do with that. Here has a picture of Brian on his way. Looks like he's making a pass. The Boys Life Insider Tip? Wear a mouth guard to reduce the impact from heading the ball. If you're under 14, limit the number of times you head the ball. Now let's go to Super Draft. Christian Pontius. Fit in like Pontius. Chris Pontius, forward midfielder for the DC United team. It's never easy being the new guy. But Chris Pontius wasn't too worried about his first year as a pro soccer player last season. Sure, he was nervous the first few games. Then came his game-winning goal against New York in just the sixth game of the season, and Pontius believed he belonged where he was. The Major League Soccer thought so too, naming him a finalist for the league's 2009 Rookie of the Year Award. His secret? Confidence. Every situation is going to have its ups and downs, and it's all about how you respond to the down times. There's always going to be good times, and those are easy to get through. But it's how you respond to the times where things aren't going too well that really makes you the person you are. His tip, Enter any strange situation with the confidence that you belong, but show you belong through how you play and act, not by what you say. Keep it safe, like Keller. Casey Keller, a goalkeeper from Seattle Sounders FC. Casey Keller was one of the finalists in 2009 for Major League Soccer's Goalkeeper of the Year. Even the league's best sharpshooters find it difficult to get the ball past him. His secret? Practice. The best thing to do is find a good goalkeeping coach. Try to find somebody you can train with consistently. It might be tough, but do some research and see if you can find that guy. If you want to be a good goalkeeper, you're going to have to put in extra work. Go to your team practice, which might not have a goalkeeping coach. Then you have to go out and train with a goalkeeping coach. And here's a picture of Casey catching a goal and then, I guess, throwing it to his teammates. BL insider tip, keep your hands together when catching the ball. Think about making a W with your thumbs together and palms spread open. And then it shows a picture here with a arm spread out, and you actually see the W as the ball approaches. Get strong like Casey. Connor Casey, he's a forward from the Colorado Rapids. Connor Casey won Major League Soccer's Player of the Week 3 times last season, was Player of the Month in May, and finished second behind Jeff Cunningham for the Golden Boot Award. Those honors are pretty sweet alone, but even more so when you consider that just 1 year before, Casey was out of the game after the second serious knee injury of his career. But he came back strong after his setbacks. His secret? Patience. Keep your head up and keep working at it to get back on the field. Injuries, unfortunately, are part of the game, but a lot of people are able to overcome those setbacks and get back to where they were before or become even better as a result. Just be patient and work hard at it. The Boys Life Insider Tip, being strong in soccer means more than strong legs. Work on flexibility by stretching and build your endurance and quickness with running drills. Kick like Marino. Jamie Marino, forward for DC United. Jeff Cunningham trails only one man on Major League Soccer's all-time scoring list, Jamie Marino. Of Marino's record 131 goals, 43 have come on penalty kicks. That is also the most ever in Major League Soccer history. It seems easy, making a penalty kick from only 12 yards away from the goalkeeper. But if it were easy, Moreno wouldn't have more than twice as many penalty kicks as the second-best active player, Los Angeles' Landon Donovan. His secret? Take a chance. It's always a bit of a gamble. I just try to pick a spot first and then believe it will go in. I look at the goalkeeper a little bit to see what he's doing, then pick my spot. You have to be confident, hit it firm, and then believe that it will go in. And his tip? Make it routine. Before every penalty kick in a game or while practicing, create a habit of placing the ball down and taking the same number of steps back each time. And here has a picture of both Casey and Jamie running after the soccer ball. Major League Soccer. The top professional soccer league in the United States kicked off its 15th season on March 15th. Major League Soccer grew to 16 teams this year with the addition of the Philadelphia Union. Find games on TV, ABC, ESPN, and the Fox Soccer Channel. The Eastern Conference is comprised of the Chicago Fire, Columbus Crew, DC United, Kansas City Wizards, New England Revolution, the New York Red Bulls, Philadelphia Union, and Toronto FC. In the Western Conference, the teams are Chivas USA, Colorado Rapids, FC Dallas, Houston Dynamo, Los Angeles Galaxy, Real Salt Lake, San Jose Earthquakes, and finally, Seattle Sounders. The World Cup. Major League Soccer will be taking a 2-week break this summer, for good reason. The world's best soccer players, including several Major League stars, will be in South Africa competing for the 2010 World Cup. What? An international soccer competition held every 4 years. Who? 32 teams from countries around the world, including the United States. Where? South Africa. When? June 11th to July 11th. Team USA's opening round games, June 12th against England, June 18th against Slovenia, and June 23rd against Algeria. TV, this will be on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. Notable, the World Cup is the most widely viewed sporting event in the world. In 2006, more than 715 million people watched the final match. Italy is the defending champion and has won 4 World Cup titles. Brazil has won a record 5 times. Team USA's best finishes in World Cup play, second place in 1930, and a spot in the final 8 in 2002. Then it has a picture here of a soccer ball having the design flags of all the balls imprinted on it. Well, let's go to Boys Life headliners, and we can find those on page 14 and 15. I'm going to talk a little bit about Luke Farley. Luke Farley looked like a baseball player. That's what it has on the picture here. He was born November 9, 1996. His hometown, Denver, Iowa. His height is 5 feet 11 inches. His weight, 130 pounds. Scout rank, 1st Class Troop 118 in Denver. He made headlines when he won the national championship for 12-year-olds at 2009 pitch, hit, and run competitions during Major League Baseball All-Star Week celebrations. The scoop. More than 600,000 youth participated in the pitch, hit, and run tournaments in 2009. Luke received his trophy during the All-Star Game where he met Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith. Baseball nut. Coached by his dad, Luke has been playing baseball since he was 4. He works year-round to improve his first baseman slash pitcher skills. His other interests include basketball, football, math, science, and swimming. His advice? Practice all you can, eat healthy foods, and come right back to try again when you don't do well. So now it has pictures of Luke pitching. It has him hitting off of a batting tee. Then it has a picture of him receiving his pitch, hit, and run trophy. All right, next headliner is Nick Venna. Nick was born April 16, 1993. Looks like he has a birthday coming up. His height is 6 feet 4.5 inches tall. His hometown is Whippany, New Jersey, and his weight is 265 pounds. Nick made headlines by breaking the national high school record for freshmen in 2008 and sophomores 2009 in the shot put. He currently holds the junior national indoor record. The scoop. In 2009, he put the shot, a 12-pound iron ball, 72 feet 8 inches to shatter the sophomore record by almost 4 feet. In both 2008 and 2009, Nick won the National Scholastic Indoor Championships and Penn Relays title and Most Valuable Player honors while placing second in the Nike Outdoor Nationals. Nick's other interests include he competes in the discus throw, in which he is the 2009 state champ, and has his garage set up to like a gym so he can do weight training. He is a volunteer youth track coach at his church and has volunteered at Special Olympics track and field events. The future? Nick plans to improve his overall strength and shot put technique. In his advice, you can never bask in the sun that long. There are always other people working hard, so you have to work even harder to stay on top. And, of course, it shows a picture here of Nick putting the shot in a number of events. Next, we have Saji Wickramasukura. He was born February 27, 1991. His hometown, Raleigh, North Carolina. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 28 in Raleigh. He made headlines when Saji and his teammate, Andrew Quao, won the $100,000 grand prize for teams at the 2008 Siemens Foundation Competition for Science, Math, and Technology. The scoop. With Saji as team leader, the pair developed a method to improve existing cancer drugs and easily identify new ones. Beyond research, Saji likes frisbee, canoeing, computer programming. In the future, Saji now attends the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, with an emphasis on biological engineering and applied mathematics. He hopes to start his own biotechnology company. And finally, Thomas DeMarco, born August 1, 1991, his hometown, Lee's Summit, Missouri. Scout rank, Eagle Scout Troop 220, Lee's Summit. Thomas made headlines as a member of the winning team at the 2009 National Pro Start Invitational Cooking Competition. The scoop, Thomas and his team created a three-course meal in an hour. We wanted recipes with produce in season and grown nearby to support local farmers, he says. They made Italian-style sushi, pink salmon with pan-roasted potatoes, and a dessert cream-tiered with honey wafers and topped with mangoes. The future for Thomas? A chef program at a college and apprenticing for a local chef. His advice? Scouting is not always about projects and goals. Sometimes it's just about being with good friends. And it has a picture here of Thomas in his chef hat. Ask Us Anything, page 13. Well, I've been having a lot of conflicts with my mom. I want to join the Marines, but she wants me to do something else. I also play guitar, but she wants me to play piano. It happens all the time. Shouldn't she be proud of me for doing these things? I need advice. Well, advice from Jenny. You're never going to win over your mom by making these issues conflicts. Instead, turn them into mature discussions. For the guitar, sit down and talk to her about why you want to play. Really let her know, without yelling or getting frustrated, exactly why you're passionate about it. For serious brownie points, look up and print out info on local classes and tell her you're willing to get a job to help pay for instruction. By the end of the conversation, she might be impressed by your enthusiasm and more open to the possibility. And then advice from Steve. Now let's talk about the Marines. She's probably concerned about your well-being in a tough operation. I check out What the Recruiter Never Told You and Surviving Marine Corps Basic Training on about.com. If you show her you've thoroughly researched this idea, she'll have more respect for your point of view. Next question. One of my friends keeps asking me to do things I don't want to do. He says he won't be my friend anymore if I don't do them. Ooh. Steve responds, well, guess it depends on what he's asking. For example, I have a buddy who was dying to see Star Trek last summer. I thought it sounded dorky, but I went because that's what friends do. By the way, great movie. If it's that kind of harmless thing and he's willing to do the same for you, step up. And then the advice from Jenny. On the other hand, if he's asking you to do stuff that goes against your morals, such as vandalism or drugs, and he's making that a condition of the friendship, then he's not really your friend. Start doing things you like to do with your other buds. He may come around and start joining you guys. If not, move on. Now in the article entitled Amazing Race. And this begins on page 30. And on page 30, it has two boys. It looks like they're pushing another over some kind of building here. Then on the next picture of boys doing some cycling down a trail. The scouts compete in a high adventure competition that tests not only their physical skills, but their mental makeup too. And you never know who will win. A competition pitting Eagle Scouts against 11-year-olds, and the 11-year-olds actually have a chance. That's the Troop 175 Boy Scout Adventure Race, held each July in Simsbury, Connecticut. What's surprising about this race is that the younger scouts can do just as well as the older ones, says 13-year-old Star Scout Eric Bartsch. For the past 2 years, teens with 11-year-olds on them have placed in the top three, so it really is about more than age or size. You never know who will win. Troop 175 race pits scout versus scout in teams of three over a fun and challenging 16-mile course that tests competitors not just physically, but also mentally. Winners are selected both for straight time and corrected time, which adjusts the results based on the age of the competitors. Sure, there's a mountain biking event that requires leg muscles of steel, but there's also an orienteering event that demands extensive knowledge of compass and map. And while there is a 5-mile run, there's also a fire-building contest that can mean the difference between first place and everybody else. Start with a bang. Each racer brings his own life jacket, mountain bike, and helmet, along with an energy bar and a liter of water. Team members must stay within 50 yards of one another at all times, so they truly are only as strong as their weakest member. The first challenge, mountain biking. The 4-mile trail across the Talcott Mountain ridgeline challenged scouts to stay on their seats as they navigated rough terrain and steep downhill. It was really exciting, exhilarating, flying down the mountain, jumping off roots and rocks, Eric says. I hit a rock and my feet bounced off the pedals and I lost my balance for a second. Just as I was regaining it, I grazed a tree. It jolted me off my seat and onto the ground. It was pretty funny. No harm, no foul. Eric's teammates were close by, and he was back into the race in no time. And here on the picture here on page 32, it shows them biking, and then it shows them two boys pulling another one up in another event, another activity. Racing for a good cause. Michael Bubnash, an Eagle Scout from Simsbury, faced the toughest challenge of all. Home from his freshman year at college 2 years ago, he was in a car accident and suffered a serious brain injury. After a year's rehabilitation, his family needed more money to pay for his care. Scouts from local troops 175, 174, and 76 raised more than $30,000 for Michael and his family during the 2008 adventure race. Last year, in addition to raising $4,000 more for the Bubnashes, the scouts brought in $11,000 for the American Cancer Society and a local charity called Simsbury Families in Need. The right ideas. After a compass course and short rappel, the teams had to cross an 8-foot climbing wall. Sure, it took strength to get over it, but the scouts learned that the right strategy could have precious seconds off their time, could shave precious seconds off their time. We thought the wall would be a place many other teens would struggle, so we decided to practice that many times in advance, says 17-year-old Eagle Scout Michael Vallon. At first, it took us about a minute and 30 seconds to get over the wall, but after some practice, we were able to do it in 9 seconds. After a mandatory 50-minute rest, each team had to run 5 miles. It was a physical test for sure, but the scouts found that support from their teammates is crucial when they need speed. I was running with two amazing athletes, says 14-year-old Star Scout Keegan Rice. They were both a lot older, stronger, and really good scouts. They let me set the pace, and I did not want to let them down. I ran the fastest I had ever had for those 5 miles. Fire starters. After another required 15-minute rest period, the scouts tackled the canoeing challenge, navigating their way down the narrow, winding Farmington River. Anybody who's been canoeing knows that technique is just as important as upper body strength. Canoeing was the easiest because we got to take breaks, Eric says. We decided that one person would paddle in front and one in back while the middle person rested. When someone got tired, we could switch positions. The final test, trial by fire, required the scouts to build a fire that could burn completely through a piece of string, using only supplies found along the river, usually without matches. It was fitting that this adventure race should end with such a mental challenge. We learned how to use flint and steel very efficiently so we could light our tinder in 1 to 3 strikes, says Eric, whose team took second place. A few teams who were in front of us couldn't get their fire started, and if we hadn't gotten ours going and burned through the rope so fast, they definitely would have beaten us. The fire building can really make or break the race. In the end, teamwork proved the most important skill. The teams that worked in advance on skills such as orienteering, climbing, and fire starting were the teams that were able to make up for any time they lost during the foot race and mountain biking challenges. We all have had to rely on each other to do our jobs, especially in parts that required different tasks from each teammate, says Eric. The race is more than physical challenges. There's a lot of planning and thinking to do. And here the pictures show the different races, showing the foot race, a picture of the three boys in the canoe, And then, in the end, teamwork proved the most important skill, shows them how they're setting their fire started. Great article. Now, how about turning now to page 56 and think and grin? Well, our first one, we have a definition. Fungi, someone pleasant to be around. And this is from Abhinav Wahajan from Fremont, California. Well, Lucas, why did the spider take swimming lessons? Will, I don't know. Why? Lucas, he wanted to surf the web. And that's from Lucas Maley in Manhasset, New York. Noah, what do you call a happy citizen of Istanbul? Alex, don't know. Noah, a Turkish delight. That's from Noah Huntley in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Simon, why did the orange go to the hospital? Ted, I haven't a clue. Simon, because it wasn't peeling well. That's from Simon Zafler from Rida, Saudi Arabia. Chris, where do cowboys go to think? Duncan, I don't know. Chris, they're Ponderosa. That's from Christopher Cunningham in Wakefield, Rhode Island. Tobin, what famous Roman always had a cold? Tommy, tell me. Tobin, Julius Sneezer. That's from Tobin Smith in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Teacher, where are the Great Plains located? Tommy, at the great airports. Nicholas Gant from South Range, Wisconsin. Andy, where do dogs park their cars? Al, where? Andy, in the barking lot. That's from Andrew Allen in Lexington, South Carolina. And Justin Jeter from Nolensville, Tennessee, says, a book never written, Different Deer Species by Carrie Boo. Definition, engineer, what an automobile hears with. And that's from Nick Rowling in Macomb, Michigan. And Pedro, what do you get when you cross a race car with a spud? Ordep, beats me, Pedro, crashed potatoes. That's from Braden Benedict from Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Definition, out of bounds, an exhausted kangaroo. From Jonathan Pisek from Springfield, Missouri. Matt, what place is never icy? Jack, tell me. Matt, a beach, because it's always sanded. Okay. That's from Matthew from Woodbridge, Connecticut. Jerry, knock, knock. Graham, who's there? Jerry, figs. Graham, figs who? Jerry, figs the doorbell. It's broken. And that's from Shmuel Yaakov in Newmark, Clinton, New Jersey. Brett, what did the caveman call it when he invented scissors? Kyle, beats me. Brett, cutting edge technology. That's from Gautam Ramesh in Danville, California. Tobin, what happened to your leg? Matt, I went to a seafold dance last night. Tobin, and Matt, I pulled a muscle. That's from Matt Oma in Nebraska. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Boys Life. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm John Ivy, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. So long, till next time.